Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Welcome back on a Wednesday. Silver and Black Today, powered by our friends at Sam and Ash. Call them anytime, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. Sam and Ash, the only attorneys I trust, so make sure you give them a call. We appreciate their support, as always. We're back here to talk some Raider football. Got a lot to get to today, coming off a Wednesday where John Gruden, Derek Carr spoke to the media, Nick Kwiatkowski, but also some news off the top of the hour. We want to give you a rundown first of the show. Coming up in just a few minutes, Marcus Mosier, who is the managing editor over at Raiders Wire, part of the USA Today family, he's going to be with us. He wrote about the Tack McKinley claim that the Raiders had planned on putting in, but guess what? As I bring in my co-host Q Myers, Q, Tack McKinley is now a Bengal.
Yeah, no doubt. And I thought it was a good idea for the Raiders to put a claim in on him. Yeah. I thought it was a good idea for a lot of teams to put a claim in on him. I just knew that it was going to be a long shot for the Raiders to get him because of their overall record. So it makes sense that the Bengals put a claim in for him. They lost Carlos Dunlap when they traded him to Seattle at the trade deadline. So now he's basically going to slide into that position. So good for the Bengals and good for the Raiders for trying to think about, you know, going that direction. It makes a lot of sense.
It does make a lot of sense. And, of course, a former first-round draft pick for $875,000 for the remainder of the year. You cannot beat that. So the Bengals grab him, but it shows the Raiders still looking to improve on that defensive line. So we're going to talk to Marcus about that.
And on top of that, I'm sorry, real quick, if he walks away from Cincinnati after this year, they're going to get a compensatory pick if he signs a big-time deal.
That's correct, yeah.
So that makes sense.
You can't lose, and the Raiders sitting at 5-3 were a long shot for him to fall through to them at the claim through the claim process. So I know a lot of fans were excited and then disappointed, but I think if you were realistic about it, as you said, Q, it was going to take some while. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Benjamin Albright, our good friend, has been on the show many, many times, dating back to our other station. Benjamin covers the Broncos for KOA in Denver, but he's also an NFL insider, so he doesn't just cover the Broncos. He covers the league, so we'll get the lowdown on Denver as they come to Las Vegas to take on the Raiders at Allegiant Stadium on Sunday in a big AFC West matchup. But we'll also get some more discussion with him around the NFL, what's happening around the NFL. As we start to see COVID numbers go up, we're starting to see it. We talked about it yesterday, Q. We're starting to see it more in college. We saw the Ohio State game today against, who are they playing? Maryland? No, I forgot who they are. I forgot, Ohio State. But their game this week is canceled, as well as the LSU game because of COVID spread. So that's college football. Yeah, I know. I can't remember.
I was just talking about it. That's what's funny. It's like I just drew a blank.
Yeah, so you have that going on. Cal Arizona State is in jeopardy as well due to COVID with Cal. So there's just a lot going on with that. Of course, here in Nevada, our governor, who kind of comes out of his hole to scare people and then goes back in the hole, I don't mind the governor telling us, hey, we need to be careful, we need to wear our masks and all that stuff. But he did that. We're having runs on the grocery store today here in Nevada.
Because
he said basically people should stay home for 2 weeks to try to get this thing under control because we're seeing a little spike here. But then he added into his statement, go buy food for 2 weeks. So guess what happened today?
So everyone went.
Yes. And I had to stop by. I had to get some contact lens solution, right? So I go by the Walgreens here in town. Dude, it's like the end of the world. Everybody's bought every kind of cold medicine, everything. I'm like, oh my gosh, you talk about unintended consequences. So, you know, words can be powerful. But anyway, the COVID stuff happening in football as well. We talked yesterday, the NFL, as a contingency plan, has now said they will go to a 16-team playoff if they have to delay any games as well. Did you also see the news out of Kansas City today, too, with the COVID storyline?
Yes. Yes. Mecole Hardman been put on the COVID-19 reserve list, and nobody knows if he failed the test, if he popped positive, or if he is just contact tracing. But, yeah, Mecole Hardman, that's a big deal.
The Chiefs have also filed a complaint with the NFL due to the fact that an NFLPA representative came to meet with the Chiefs players. They do that all the time because it's the union. But apparently this gentleman did not wear his mask. He was in close proximity to folks, violating the agreement that they had between the NFLPA and the NFL, which we've talked about many, many, many times here with what the Raiders have gone through. So now the NFL has filed a complaint, the team, with the league over the lack of control, because I guess this gentleman with the NFLPA is not tested under the same protocol as players, but was in close proximity to a bunch of players. This on the same day, as you mentioned, Hardman goes on the COVID-19 list.
Right.
So just a lot of moving parts, Q, with all this. You know, just when you think the season's kind of moving along smoothly, this could really put a big dent in things to come here in the next few weeks.
I mean, this could be one of those things that changes the game for teams. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It really can. It could really, you see what's going on with Pittsburgh. You know, Big Ben, is he going to be back in time to play this week? If not, do they lose to the Bengals because he's not out there? I mean, this could be really a game changer for multiple teams throughout the rest of this season. A lot of it has to do with the weather and how it's going to be changing and that these numbers are starting to spike again.
Absolutely. Also, next hour, top of next hour, we're going to talk with you guys about Paul Gunther, the defense, how that's moving. JT the Brick, who's, of course, on right before us, talked with Paul Gunther exclusively yesterday on his show. And a couple of things I pulled out of there around personnel and around Jonathan Abram that I want to talk through because you know, some of what's been happening with that defense as it's been getting better, there's also some concerns. I've seen a lot of concerns, and we talked about it with Jonathan Abram. And actually, Rossi from Australia called in yesterday, right? And he said, hey, listen, we all love Jonathan Abram, but man, in coverage, he's having some trouble. We reminded him, hey, he's played 6 games. So that in itself is an issue, but Paul Gunther talked about that. So we'll visit those comments because I think they're worth sharing. We'll also have the Q-tip, as we always do in the second hour, and then we'll join. We haven't talked to our buddy Vinny Bonsignor in a couple days, so we'll talk with him about the injury report, which should be out any minute if I haven't missed it already. That'll be out because there's Q. This Denver game is huge, and there's a lot on the dock here with when it comes to injuries with this Raiders team. If they don't get back some guys this weekend, I'm a little concerned because Alec Ingold was back at practice today, which was a huge boost. That guy's just tough as nails. But you still have Colton Miller, you still have Richie Incognito, you still have Arden Key, you still have a bunch of guys, Damon Arnette, that are not in there. And the Raiders need to start getting healthy if they're going to really push for a strong playoff spot and do well in the playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you mentioned the injury report. I just saw it now hit Twitter. Colton Miller did not participate.
Oh, yeah. I see it right now. I just got it in my emails.
There you go.
Yeah, Jonathan Abram was limited. Maurice Hurst, Rodney Hudson, that's just a veteran day.
Yeah, exactly.
Colton Miller, Trayvon Mullen did not participate either. Where is
the hammy.
Yeah, that's the hammy. But I don't see... Okay. So anyway.
Richie Incognito and Damon Arnette are still on the IR.
They're still
That's
on
probably why
the,
they're
yeah,
not
they're
on there.
They're still on the IR, so they don't have to be on the report. So yeah, there you go. So they have not been activated off IR, which means I think they can be up until Wednesday. I'm not sure. But they are likely not to play. So it's a key here with the injuries. I think, yes, the Raiders have been able to do it. We talked yesterday, of course, with Brandon Parker. We talked about the offensive line and how they've been able to play through that. But at some point, this stuff catches up to you. We saw it catch up to them last year after they were 6-4. But now is the time you want to get these guys healthy, because especially in time for that Kansas City game, because if that Kansas City game can somehow go the Raiders' way, then you start talking about a division title, you know, even though the Raiders because then you own 2 games over your division rival, and the Chiefs, despite having a better record, would be behind the Raiders in the
you got to catch them first. They're at 8-1 right now.
Yes, you got to catch them.
They've lost 1 game in 365 days,
and that
happened to be against the Raiders.
I know. Somebody mentioned that yesterday nationally. You should have seen Raider fans descend on that person like a plague, because it was they've only lost 1 game. Well, yeah, it was to the Raiders, though. Why didn't you mention that? But, yeah, so the Chiefs are changing. And I want to talk about that, too, later, Q, because the Chiefs – I was having a discussion with a colleague yesterday. The Chiefs are the team to chase. Now, how many years, and think crazy things can happen. I'm just saying, if the Chiefs stay like they are and they win like they are, which is a big if, for the next 3 to 5 years, will the Raiders? You never know.
I don't. I just think it's so hard to win in the NFL. Like, I hear people talk about that and, oh, they can have this dynasty and they can make this major run. And look, I get it. The Patriots did it. But it's just so hard now in the modern day NFL to have such a dynasty because you have free agency, because you have coaches plucked away from your team. You know, I mean, it's so difficult. And winning a game in the NFL is tough as well. Not to mention you're getting every team's best game, their A game, every time you hit the field.
Yeah, you do. But if you think about it, If 3 to 5 years, let's say they're competitive like they are, it doesn't mean they have to be Super Bowl contenders every year. But are the Raiders going to have a home game in the playoffs in the next few years? Because you get in the playoffs. I mean, just hypothetically, if you're chasing the Chiefs and they're going to continue to win the division, which is again a big if, it's just something to discuss because you have this beautiful Allegiant Stadium here, and you want the Raiders to have a chance to get through the playoffs. And of course, home field advantage is huge. But something else we'll talk about. But first, we're going to go out on the newsmaker line and bring in Marcus Mosier. He is the managing editor over at Raiders Wire, of course, part of the USA Today Sports family. And Marcus, you wrote earlier today about the Raiders expected to make a claim for Tack McKinley. Of course, we now know that he signed with Cincinnati. But when you look at this Raiders team and the needs they have at the defensive front, is it any surprise they were going to? And it was a long shot. I think everybody thought that. But Tack McKinley, what type of player, what could he have brought to this Raiders team that they don't have right now?
Yeah, so the Raiders are always going to be looking to bring in some of these former first-round picks, you know, guys that were highly thought of in the past. And this just happened to be a guy that Mike Mayock liked a lot in the draft. He ranked him as the 19th best player in 2017. It's somebody who Rod Marinelli liked a lot when he was with the Dallas Cowboys. They were going to draft him ahead of T.J. Watt and Tarquan Charlton before the Falcons traded up. So I just think this happened to be, you know, the perfect storm of a really talented player becoming available who was cheap, where the Raiders didn't have to give up any sort of asset to go claim him. But unfortunately, got picked up by the Bengals. It's a fun little look-see for the next, 7-8 games for them. I thought he could have brought some juice to the Raiders pass rush, but they'll have to look elsewhere to continue to bring up and improve this defensive line.
You mentioned how it was just like an easy fix, just kind of get that guy on the cheap for the rest of the year. Not to mention that, Marcus, but also how about the fact that they could have got a compensatory pick if he goes and goes to the team, plays well, gets a big contract with another team, they get a compensatory pick out of that.
Yeah, that always has to factor in a little bit. And we know that Mike Mayock is smart. He knows how to game the system a little bit. So that was always in consideration as well. But I would say to that, I think the Raiders are going to be very aggressive in free agency again in 2021. So I'm not sure it would have made a big difference, but it's certainly something to consider.
Marcus Mosier from Raiders Wire joins us. And Marcus, when we look at this Raiders defense, right, and we have actually our cited debate of the week about whether or not it's gotten better, I'm starting to see some progress. It is slow, and we've seen key additions to this defense really not add as much as you thought they would. For example, Malik Collins, who you know from the Cowboys, and then, of course, Corey Littleton, which we are still befuddled by. But they start to gel a little bit. They're gelling a little bit. They start starting to get better, but what is it going to take for this Raiders defense to get to the point where maybe they're going to actually start helping this team win games earlier in the game?
Well, it would help if they could get healthy, right? That's really the big thing. You know, Trayvon Mullen came out of last week's game with a hamstring injury. Damon Arnett has missed the last couple months with a thumb injury. Maurice Hurst has not been available. So if this team can just get healthy, I think they can be an average defense. And really, that's what we're looking for here, right? We know the Raiders aren't going to be a top 10, top 5 defense, but they don't need to be in order to be successful. They just need to be around 16, 17, 18. And I think they have the talent to do so. They just need to get healthy. It doesn't sound like any of those injuries are long-term ones. So maybe by the time we get to mid-November, late November, they'll have a full roster back in place. But yeah, I really think that's the key. Just get healthy, and I think this defense will be all right.
Marcus, Scott mentioned the fact that, you cover the Cowboys. I cover the Cowboys. We saw Rod Marinelli up close and personal. Have you been able to see his thumbprints on this Raiders defense yet?
Yeah, absolutely. You're seeing guys like Cleveland Farrell and Max Crosby, really develop as pass rushers. And, I think I know we haven't seen him yet in the silver and black, but I think, you know, having a guy like David Irving on the practice squad, eventually when he gets up onto the active roster, that's somebody who Rod Marinelli, you know, really vouches for and believes in. So you're seeing, you know, a lot of these guys come wanting to play with Rod Marinelli. I think you're seeing these guys really develop as pass rushers. I think over the next couple of years, we'll really see the improvements there on the defensive line.
Marcus Mosier from Raiders Wire is with us here on the Newsmaker Line on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. Marcus, before we let you go, let's talk about Derek Carr. You know, Derek Carr, as you know, covering the Raiders and being the managing editor there over there, is always a subject of discussion. He's having a year. He's really silenced his critics because he's having probably, I mean, the 2016 season was great, but when you look at the maturity, you look at what he's been able to do this year, probably his best year. What are you seeing different in him that's lending to that success?
Yeah, I don't know how you guys feel, but I feel like this season is by far the best we've ever seen Derek Carr, right? I mean, not only is he being more aggressive, throwing the ball down the field, but he's just making winning plays. You know, if things aren't open, he's taking off and making plays with his legs. You look at the offensive line that he played behind on Sunday with no Colton Miller, no Trent Brown, no Richie Incognito, and finding a way to put up 31 points in that game and convert on third downs. I mean, I know the raw stats and the volume stats aren't necessarily there, but I really think this is the best we've seen Carr play just because he's finding a way to win these games, and he's playing great in the second half. He's helping receivers like Nelson Aguilar develop and kind of resurrect his career. I love what I've seen from Derek Carr in the first half of the season.
All right.
What about the 1-2 punch in the running back position? I'm sorry, Scott. Devontae Booker and Josh Jacobs. What about what you've seen from them?
Yeah, I think when the Raiders brought in Booker, they were just looking for somebody to spell Jacobs, so they didn't have to give him 30 touches a week. I don't think they expected this from Booker. You know, a guy that's averaging, you know, 6.5 yards per carry, and you know, when you take Jacobs off the field, there's not really a drop-off. So I think Booker's been fantastic. I also think Jalen Richard, we need to mention him, one of the best receiving backs in all of the NFL, just finds ways to make plays. So I think this running back stable, 1-3, is among the best in the NFL.
All right, Marcus Mosier from Raiders Wire. We appreciate you spending the time with us. Make sure you follow Marcus at Marcus_Mosher, M-O-S-H-E-R. Marcus, thanks again, man. We'll have you on roll again soon.
Yep, thanks, fellas.
All right, there you go, Marcus Mosier.
Yeah. You know, and Jalen Richard, he's right about that. He doesn't get mentioned enough, I know he doesn't get a ton of carries or a ton of touches throughout the game. He does a lot of kick returns, and a lot of times he's not able to do that because the ball's going out of the end zone. But he made a play on Sunday where he caught a pass along the sideline and, you know, stayed in bounds and cut back in and was able to pick up a first down. You see maximum effort every single time Jalen Richard touches the ball, whether it's from a running position or catching. I get a little nervous when he runs, like when he returns kicks, because he gets a little loose with the ball at times. But man, he gives you maximum effort.
He does, and I'll tell you, as we've talked with Brandon Parker, of course we talk with Hunter Renfrow every Monday on 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfrow here, and every time you talk to a Raider, they talk about, hey, yeah, we got a lot of guys, and we might not get as many touches, or we might not get as many starts, but we're just going to make the most out of our opportunity, and Jalen Richard is one of those guys who's, when he's in there, you just know he's going to be solid, you know he's going to play hard, and he's going to give you everything he has, and that makes a huge difference, especially those young guys watching these veterans that are there and what they're able to do and how they're going about their business. To me, is such a big deal. And Richard is big. I mean, that running back core, the fact that you have three guys and the fact that he has his strength, which adds to that room and allows them to pass the ball to him, allows him to kick return, like you said, is just phenomenal. And you're right, he doesn't give enough credit.
But no, not at all. And like I said, I always talk about Devontae Booker and Josh Jacobs, of course, because they're, you know, 1-2 punch. But yeah, Jalen Richard, he holds his own as well.
All right. Well, we will take your calls too. So get on the line and get ready to chime in on what you guys are thinking. 702-365-9200 is the number. We'll get to your calls very, very soon here. What did you think about the Raiders maybe trying to look for a defensive player to help on that defense? It's going to be harder to do now since they're at a 5-3 record, which is a good problem to have. But give us a call. 702-365-9200 is that number. Coming up after this break, Blake will be Benjamin Albright. He's an NFL insider, also the host of Broncos Country tonight on KOA in Denver, as we go a little bit behind enemy lines and talk to him about the Broncos, what they're doing. And I know you don't like the Broncos, but we want to give you insight into who they are and where they've been struggling, because they've had some inconsistencies and injuries, particularly on defense. So we'll talk to Benjamin about that. And then we'll talk a little bit more about the Raiders defense and hear from Paul Gunther, get the Q-tip, and talk to Vinny later in the show. Right now, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll take your calls, 702-365-9200, only here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Here on the Silver and Black Today, all you sailors out there, anchors away, it is Veterans Day. We want to wish you all of those who served and are serving, thank you for your service to our country, and happy Veterans Day. You know which one that is, Q?
No, I don't know what that is.
That's the U.S. Navy, anchors okay. away.
Nice.
So when we come back,
I guess that would have been the clue right there. My bad.
That's okay, man. It's a long day.
I definitely knew Veterans Day today and been showing love all day long, because that's what we should do and that's what we need to do. Actually, we need to do it more than just today, but we always get caught up in the shuffle and the everyday hustle of life, and we don't take time to salute our veterans enough.
Yeah, no doubt, including my grandfather, who served in World War II, won the Bronze Star in North Africa fighting, held off a machine gunning position. He was a sergeant. Held off a machine gun position from advancing Japanese soldiers, and he was like one of two guys left and held the position. So, you know, you remember all those guys who served, men and women all over the country who've done their part from the earliest, from World War II, which is a few of those guys and gals left around, unfortunately, as age has gotten them, they're kind of going by the wayside. But of course, we have our Vietnam veterans, we have our recent veterans of the Gulf Wars and Korea and so on. So thank you to all of you. And we'll come back in from each break hearing some Veterans Day music. So that's where it goes. By the way, Q, are you a golf fan?
I'm not a golf fan. I respect golf, but I was a golf guy when Tiger was Tiger. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
So you were a Tiger because, fan.
Yeah, I'm a Tiger fan just because it's just incredible what he was able to do when people that look like me weren't doing stuff like that. And I'm serious. And I mean, it just, I thought it was awesome. And so whenever Tiger was out there, I was locked in. After he, you know, fell off, I just kind of basically fell off. And I know that's bad fandom, but I still just watched it then.
Well, no, because it was interesting, and it changed a generation, really, around golf, especially for African-American kids in this country and kids of color of all sorts, to see someone out there that looked more like them, because you just didn't see that before. So it was it was a big deal, and so I understand that. But the reason I bring it up is because, you know, the Masters starts, right?
Yep.
And I could give two craps about it. I really don't like golf.
Well, Tiger's the defending champion.
I know. He's got the green jacket again. But here's the deal. Like, I like to go play golf a few times a year, and I don't begrudge people who love golf. Like, for some people, it's their hobby. It's how they stay competitive athletically. And like you said, I respect the heck out of it, because it is a tough sport. I can
so difficult.
Oh, I'm so inconsistent. There's times I'm hitting the ball really well, I'm putting well, and I feel like, man, I love this game, I got to play it more. And there's other times where I look like I've never picked up a club in my life, right?
So I'm terrible all the time. I'm never good at golf.
And Bobby's got something to say about golf. What's up, Bobby?
Uh-oh.
Any sport that you can play that you get better at as you're drunk is not a sport.
You don't get better as you're drunk in golf.
Yes, you
have more fun.
You do
while
I
you're
do.
Drunk. You don't get better, dog. I promise you don't get better.
You watch. You want to come play around with me?
But you know,
yes.
I'll show you some stuff.
Yes.
That'd be great.
Yes.
You know why that might be though, Bobby, is because golf is such
beer goggles, homeboy.
It's such a mental game that maybe as you drink, you stop thinking about it.
I think it's along those lines because I know a lot of people that get really, really worked up about stuff. I just take the club with one hand, smack the ball. Come on, let's go. Grab a beer. Yeah. You know, I've been thrown off of so many courses.
Beer goggles, homeboy. It's like being at the club and you've had so many beers that everyone looks great. then when you wake up the next morning, you realize she was not great. It's called beer goggles.
You are literally referring to 40% of my entire sex life.
I got to teach you some radio etiquette, homeboy.
Bobby's honest. He's going to tell you like
yeah,
this.
He keeps it all the way real.
Yes,
boy.
He does.
When you know when Twitter says when keeping it real goes bad?
Yeah.
That's Bobby.
Oh, you don't even know me.
But that's a whole different discussion.
I respect that, though.
The beer goggles discussion, we'll have to have another time. But I bring it up because it's just because there's no other sports going on besides football. There's usually other things going on.
Is there another sport besides football?
Yeah, there you go.
Football's great.
But the Masters is everywhere, right? And yeah. I respect, right? I just don't want to watch it. I don't really care about it. And it's all over the place, right? That, to me, that and soccer, you can just take it and just compartmentalize it. I don't have to see it.
Yeah, soccer's a different animal. You got to be that's just got to be, you know, in your wheelhouse. I like it when it's the World Cup just because it's the World Cup. But that's it.
Yeah, I gotcha. All right. It is time to go back on our newsmaker line, and we bring in our good friend, NFL insider, and the host of Broncos Country Tonight on KOA out in Denver, Benjamin Albright. He's here to talk about the Raiders and the Broncos and to tell us sort of where the Broncos are right now as we get set for this game in Las Vegas on Sunday. Benjamin, thanks for joining us here on Raider Nation Radio.
Absolutely, anytime.
All right, man. So let's talk about the Broncos. I mean, I know for me, paying attention to what's happening with them, the defense with injuries and kind of those inconsistencies, you see them play very good at times, and other times they haven't in this first half of the season. Where are they at right now, and how would you categorize the first half for Denver and the Broncos?
You know, a bit of a disappointment. They've had a lot of injuries, just a slew of them. And that's been part of the problem. You've not been able to develop any continuity because they're always doing some lineup shuffling. You know, they lost Cortland Sutton and Von Miller at the beginning of the year, but it's just been one thing after another since then. AJ Bouye's been in and out of the lineup. Bryce Callahan was out. Graham Glasgow was out. They've lost two right tackles. Tim Patrick has been out. And then, you know, you've got a rotation of different defensive interior and exterior defensive linemen. Jerry Mitacha has been in and out. But the only thing that's been consistent has been the two safeties. So it's really been a mix and match season for Denver, trying to make do with what they can. And, you know, it's just a tough go of it.
Matter of fact, speaking of the safeties, is Justin Simmons, what's the latest on him?
He's good to go. I mean, he's going to be playing. He's been, you know, fairly decent this season. He had a bit of a drop off, but a lot of that has been him covering down for corners that are rookies. You know, they've had Michael Ojemudia, Sang Bassi out there, guys that are rookies, and Justin's had to cover for that. It's put him out of position at times, you know, perhaps made him look a little worse than he's been. He's clearly an all-pro safety, but, you know, it's just been a tough sled. He's got two interceptions in the last two games, and, you know, looking to keep the streak alive, I guess.
Well, and looking at that defense, Benjamin, I know there's been guys that have been playing really well. I mean, Alexander Johnson, right, at linebacker, has been doing well. You talked about Simmons. And then until recently, he just got injured. Bryce Callahan has also been probably their best coverage player. How are they feeling about those guys? And talk about that tandem at linebacker.
Well, you know, Alexander Johnson's been a great find. He didn't crack the lineup till about a third of the way through the season last year, and then just played at a pretty good level ever since. He's pretty good. The problem is he did the other linebacker spot. You got Josie Jewell, who's athletic and limited, who's really kind of a run funnel guy, and then some other guys who are mainly special teamers that aren't very good. The edge rush has been Malik Reed and Jerry Atachu and lieu of Von Miller. And then you get Bradley Chubb as well. You know, Chubb's a pretty good player. He's finally kind of got back to the player that he was over the last couple of weeks. You got guys coming back off injury and rotating through and trying to do COVID list and everything else. It's been funny. Bryce Callahan was having a heck of a year up until he got hurt. He was out last week. They were down to Ojemudia, Sang Bassi, and Devontae Harris. So two rookies and a guy that play. It was a pretty bad look last week.
Well, the Raiders, they took Henry Ruggs. They took him as the first wide receiver off the board in this past draft. And the Broncos went and got Jerry Jeudy. I know he's dealing with a little bit of a shoulder injury, but what has he been? How has he been for the Broncos this season?
Oh, he's been pretty good. He's very athletic. A little bit raw as a receiver, but, you know, they're trying to work him into it. He's had a few drops here or there that have kind of been a problem, but, you know, his ability to gear down and use his athleticism to get open has been welcome on this offense. They're just trying to get the timing down. You know, Drew Lock got hurt at the beginning of that second game this season and, you know, came back to the rotator cuff, and they just haven't had the timing down yet. They've gotten him and KJ a volume of targets over the last couple of weeks, and I think they've kind of started to respond there a little bit. But Jerry needs to be more consistent in order to validate the draft position he had.
Again, Benjamin Albright from KOA in Denver joins us. And Benjamin, when you look at Drew Lock, I mean, he gets started off the season as the starter, of course, and then gets injured, comes back. There's been times when I've watched him, I said, man, he looks good. And then there's been other times, not so much. How patient are the Broncos going to be with him, or are they looking to make a call on if he's the guy long term, maybe after this year or next?
Well, that's exactly what this is. This is a season-long audition to find out if he's going to be the guy. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's going to be the guy the rest of this year either way. But, you know, at the end of that, they'll begin to evaluate that, take a look, see if he made enough strides to, you know, to maybe continue investing in him, or, you know, if they need to move on. You know, he's got the tools. It's just a question of consistency and kind of getting a lot of this pro concept stuff down that he wasn't exposed to in college. So, you know, I think he's a good player. He reminds me a lot of your own quarterback, in Derek Carr. Mm-hmm. You know, similar tools and everything else. Just a guy that, you know, probably needed an OC to give him a couple of years in his system to kind of get mastery of it. And we've seen what happened with Carr now after he's had a few years in the system, but he's playing like gangbusters. So,
Vic Fangio, he's always been a great defensive coordinator, gets his opportunity to be the head coach of the Broncos. What are your returns on him? I know he had a rough like first season, but is he kind of getting into that head coaching role?
Yeah, I think he is. I think he's a good head coach. You know, he's basically a CEO of the defense and kind of, you know, tells the offense what he wants out of it. But, you know, I think he's a pretty good coach. It took him a while to kind of get his scheme. They transitioned from throw everything but the kitchen sink at the quarterback and play man on the back end to a zone defense now, which is basically a quarters defense that tries to send the least amount of people at the quarterback they need to get pressure, which philosophically was an adjustment for some of these players. But I think they finally adapted to it. I think Vic will be fine. The question is getting the offense down. The defense is still playing at the top 10 level.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you look at the remainder of their schedule, Benjamin, you look at the Dolphins, I think the Saints, the Chiefs, the Bills, of course, the Raiders coming up this weekend. You know, getting off to that slow start, they've now kind of put themselves in the position and the back end of that schedule is tough. What do you see from them going into that back end and coming here to Las Vegas this Sunday?
Well, it's going to be tough. I think there's a sense of optimism. You know, this is a team that has lost games close. They got blown out by KC and the Bucks, but other than that, they've lost games close. They lost it that Tennessee game in the final 45 seconds. They lost the Pittsburgh game. They had two shots to convert a fourth down that would have, and get in the end zone that would have won it from them. So those are two good teams. I mean, Pittsburgh's undefeated. The Titans are a good football team. They could have won both of those. They did beat the Jets. Everybody expected that. And, you know, I mean, even last week against the Falcons, they got down big. They came all the way back, had the ball with 50 seconds left to try to drive the field. Just couldn't quite get it done. So, you know, they've had just a lot of close losses. They're kind of in that rebuild phase. You know, rebuild from big to lose small. That's kind of where they're at. And they want to move that from lose small to win a small. And they just haven't quite got there yet.
Have they figured out the dynamic at the running back room with Philip Lindsay and obviously having Melvin Gordon as well?
Not really. Pat Shermer's too quick to abandon the run, and you know, Phil Lindsay, when he's out there, it's obvious what they're going to do because Phil Lindsay can't pass protect, and he's not really a good receiver out of the backfield. So if he's out there, and odds are pretty good to start running with him. So they haven't really figured that out yet. Gordon's not been as good, kind of a plotter back there, good for one or two, just not getting done. So I don't know what they're going to do as far as those two. Melvin's got a 3-game suspension coming, whatever his line is two days. So. That might be the time for Phil Lindsay to shine.
Benjamin Albright's with us. And Benjamin, let's switch gears a little bit to wider NFL here. We're starting to see COVID numbers increase across the country. Of course, you've seen the major cancellations this weekend with college football, and you're very well tied in, great sources around the league. And they just said yesterday, the commissioner came out and said, look, we'll go to 16-team playoff system if we have any major delays, sort of a plan C for them. How big is the concern around the league that there might be more stoppages as we run through the backside of this schedule?
I don't think there is. I think they've done a pretty good job juggling that around and, you know, burning up bye weeks. They still have a backstop. They could add a week, another week of games, week 18, if it were, at the end of the season that they haven't burned up yet. So I think they've got some flexibility with most of that stuff. I think they've done a decent job, and I think they think that that's the way it's going to go. They just want to have a contingency plan in place in case there is a major work stoppage across the country.
Do you think that if once the playoff time comes, they may go to what the NBA did and go to the bubble just for the playoffs?
I would. I don't, right now, that hasn't been discussed, or at least put forward as a plan. It's been discussed, but I would do it personally, and I think it's the best course of action for the for the product of the league. But right now, that is not the plan. Right now, it's still up to the individual teams how they want to do things.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting stuff. Benjamin, we always appreciate you. And by the way, happy Veterans Day, and thank you for your service, because I know you served, and want to just thank you for that as well. And thank you for coming on the show, brother.
Absolutely, guys. Anytime.
All right. There you go. Benjamin Albright. Follow him on Twitter, at AlbrightNFL. So that's good to hear that that he's not hearing any big concern from around the league, Q, about the COVID
no,
stuff.
No, I mean, it is. And I think you have to take it kind of one of those like week-by-week scenarios, just because we don't know. You know, it's not like we can say, well, last time this happened, you know, in week 17, everything was all good. I mean, we just don't know how this thing moves and shakes. So it's just one of those, you know, they might not be too concerned right now. They might be concerned 3 weeks from now. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things that you got to kind of be prepared to make moves if you have to.
Well, and back to the Broncos and the Raiders that we talked about with Benjamin, that offense still being in flux and not really solidified. They've got a lot of moving pieces. They don't know what they're doing. I think that benefits this Raiders defense who yes, they're playing lesser teams than they did the first five, six games of the schedule, but that's sometimes what you need to gain confidence and get going. Now, the Broncos defense, despite some of the injuries, is still pretty good, and so the Raiders offense will have a challenge there, but I like the Raiders opportunity here against Denver to shut down that offense.
I like the Raiders' chances, period, offensively with just about any team in the league. I know Tampa Bay gave them fits, but even in the passing game they were doing well early on against the Buccaneers and just kind of fell apart. Defensively, I think that it's, you know, one of those scenarios where Benjamin talked about the running backs. When one's in, you kind of know that he's going to run. And when the other one's in, you know it's going to be a pass. That's something that they got to figure out and how to fix, because you can't have those kind of big old red flags or those big old commercials running basically like, hey, by the way, hey, dummy, we're running. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to be able to disguise that a little bit. And if they can't, man, then the defense could really kind of pin their ears back and get after them.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going out on the phone lines. By the way, if you want to call in and be part of the discussion, how you think the Raiders are going to perform against the Denver Broncos, and do you like the Masters? I'll ask that question, too. Do you care about golf?
Of course. Hey, there's a lot of golf fans
out there, man.
I bet you everyone likes golf.
I know. There's a lot of them, and they're very passionate about it. I understand. So let us know. 702-365-9200 is the number. We go out to our good buddy down in Los Angeles. That, of course, is Gangsta Raider. What's up, man?
Hey, what's happening, y'all? I'm sitting here. I'm thinking about our next few games, and I'm feeling good. I think we got a few players, though, that need to be, you know, limited their playing time or taken away altogether. And the first one, you know, is Malik Collins. He need to walk the plank. Then we need Eric Harris. He need to walk the plank. And the other player we need to walk the plank is the Noosa Lawson, Nevin Lawson. Them three players need to walk the plank. And I think we need to put LaMarcus Joyner back there at the other safety. Damon Arnett, when he come back, put him at the slot, or either the other rookie, Amik Robinson, but I don't know why he haven't been getting much playing time, but I think it's because of his size or whatever. But I think we this needs to be a statement game against Denver. We need to come out, the defense step up. If we get them players to, you know, the step up on the defensive line, Cleveland Farrell, Cleafy showed up and showed out this first game. But we need him, Mad Max, and Vickers, or one of the other guys that come off the bench to take Malik Collins' spot, because I don't want to see him on the field at all. Only time I seen him do something in the past game was when he whiffed on a tackle when Tyrod Taylor was in there for the two-point conversion. Luckily, 44, Kukowski was there to make the tackle. You know what I'm saying? So we get them players out the game, trade them. Okay, it's too late to trade them, but how much dead money will we have to suffer or eat if we cut Malik Collins, Scott Q? And also, this needs to be a statement game. And if y'all taking the point predictions, I'm predicting 45-17. This is going to be a statement game. 45-17, and we're going to have a couple of turnovers on defense. I don't know if it's picks or sack strips, but I know we're going to have two turnovers on defense. And I got a question. Did we have to end up paying Antonio Brown eventually, or how did they go with arbitration? I don't know. I hope we didn't end up having to pay him that money when we ended up cutting him, whatever happened with that. And also the other question was, I forgot what it was, but anyway, yeah. What's up, y'all?
Gangster Raider, always good call. On Malik Collins, by the way, the dead cap hit is $5.75 million.
They're not moving on from him this year. He's only on a one-year deal.
He's only on
if
a
anything,
one-year
they
deal.
Need him for depth.
Yes.
They're not going to move on from him at all.
No, and you're halfway through the season now, so nobody's taking that
That's
cash.
That's not going anywhere.
Nobody's taking that cash. But I understand his point. Now, on Amik Robertson, I'll add on him. Amik Robertson, I think he's going to be okay. He just needs time. They have to develop him. Every time we've talked about him and we've talked to the team about him, it's like, look, they like him, but he wasn't going to be a guy that was going to come in. At least they thought he might be, but then he got there. And some of these guys just take time. We got to be patient with them. So he's in there. He played a little bit last week, a couple times. Yeah. Played well once. I think one time he kind of got confused. But he's just going to take some time to develop, just like we talked to Brandon Parker yesterday and some of these guys. Colton Miller took a year, right? Some of these guys are going to take that time, so they're not ready to step in and be better or be able to take that position full time.
No, they're not, you know, and again, I mean, the way you're going to get a lot better in the league is being out there on the grass and getting some kind of, you know, some burn. So whenever he gets an opportunity to get out there, you know, he's got to make the most of it. They're not going to just throw him out there just to throw him out there. I mean, even with Trayvon Mullen, you know, they didn't put him out there full time until they felt like he was ready.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they felt confident in Damon Arnett early on. They started him to start the season, but they're not going to just throw someone out there just for the sake of throwing him out there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get back to your calls, 702-365-9200. How happy are you with the Raiders defense? By the way, take our sided debate of the week where we ask if you think they're making progress. Are they showing you slow and steady progress? You can answer that question up on sided. We'll talk about that. You're here on Silver and Black today only on Raider Nation Radio.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Welcome back on this Veterans Day to Silver and Black today here on Raider Nation Radio, powered by our friends at Salmon Ash. Visit them at salmonash.com. You're listening to another military hymn theme, Always Ready. You know what branch that is, Q?
No, I don't.
Take a guess.
I don't know.
Take a guess.
The Marines.
No. That'll
come. There you go. You made me look stupid.
Nah, this one's a tough one because people often forget about the men and women that defend our nation's coasts, the Coast Guard.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Always Ready. So there you go. Happy nice. Veterans Day to all those who served in the Coast Guard. They also do all of the drug enforcement stuff on the coast. I mean, they do a lot. They're busy. They're nice. Busy. Poppy booze.
Oh, don't do that, Doc.
Oh,
don't do that.
That's
bad business, man.
He was
bad,
right.
bad.
By the way,
business.
Hey, so famous athletes who served in the military, right?
Okay.
Okay, a couple of them. Joe Louis. Roger Staubach, great one. Joe Louis.
Yep.
Jackie
Napoleon
Robinson.
McCallum.
Yes, Napoleon McCallum, a Raider. Good one.
Yeah.
Jackie
yeah,
Robinson.
Yep.
Pat Tillman, of course.
Of course.
My daughter's a Tillman scholar at Arizona State.
Nice.
How about David Robinson?
Yep.
Right?
He was the Navy, right?
He was in the Navy. He was in a submarine, that big dude.
Well, he probably laid down.
He had to crawl through the submarine because he's too damn tall. And then, of course, Yogi Berra, Ted Williams, a lot of examples of men and women who served in our military who also played professional sports. So happy Veterans Day, and thank you to all of you who served out there. And if you are a member or a veteran and you call in today, let us know. 702-365-9200 is the number. There's a lot. I encounter a lot of Raider Nation fans, of course, who served as well. They tend to pop up and talk about it a lot. So it's always good.
You got a big base there, don't you?
We have Nellis Air Force Base.
That's right.
Actually, there's Nellis Air Force Base, and then there is Creech Air Force Base, which is right outside. It's a smaller one.
Okay.
But they do all the drones from there. So all the drones in the Middle East. That's what the pilots are actually sitting here at Creech Air Force Base in Nevada. And then, of course, you have the Nevada Test Range, which is another big one as well. Top Gun. Remember Top Gun, the Navy?
Yeah.
That's up in Fallon, Nevada. Believe it or not, the guys who land and women who land on aircraft carriers, they are based in Fallon, Nevada, which is central north Nevada. So,
We got Fort Hood out here.
Yeah,
that's our big spot.
Yeah, Army time.
Didn't really have the best name right now these days.
Yeah.
But Fort Hood is here.
It is there. It is there. And again, Veterans Day. So it's funny, man. I'll tell you what. It's good to see the progression of Veterans Day. You walk around businesses pretty much everywhere, and you see that on this day they congratulate folks with discounts. They're able to get. I mean, Applebee's, who I actually used to work for back in the day.
You worked at Applebee's?
Yeah, I ran their digital marketing and online marketing. Yep. And they do it every. They feed all current and former military members a free meal today.
Nice.
So, So I know you can insert your Applebee's joke here, but hey, you go in.
I was not going to make a joke about Applebee's. I promise you. I was not going to say that nobody goes there if they're actually of age to be able to drink. I was not going to say at all.
Oh, yeah. When I was there, Q, by the way, I had to deal with we had a crisis. So me and the PR staff, they served an alcoholic beverage to like a 4-year-old. It was a restaurant like in Ohio or somewhere. And so we had to deal with that. It was like,
how do you deal with that? And why would you do that?
You know what? It was a mix up and somebody didn't think about what they were doing. They poured it into a cup and it got put into the wrong pitcher. It was like a lemonade or something. And it got put into the little kiddie cups,
Right.
Oh, man.
Wow.
That was tough.
That could have been, or that probably was all bad.
It was all bad. Yeah, poor kid had to go to the hospital. Luckily, the kid was okay. No problem, but I'm sure the parents...
How are they today?
I don't know.
Are they still scarred from the moment?
I hope not.
Still eating Applebee's for free?
Yeah, they're still... Exactly. That's what I was going to say. They're eating Applebee's for free. Okay.
Riblets, baby!
Riblets are good, man.
I know. I used to like Riblets. That's the only thing I rate there.
When I worked there, too, corporate, I had to work. When I first started, I had to work 3 days in a restaurant. That was eye-opening. Okay. That was eye-opening. Because if you've never served tables before or worked in the kitchen before, man, that's tough work. So,
yeah. I worked at Taco Bell before, I know.
Yeah. I did Burger King.
I made churros.
Burger King when I was 15, man.
Oh, you had a Whopper.
Yeah. I lied about my... Back then, they had that chicken parmesan sandwich, which was actually very good. They were
really?
They were really
way
good.
Back in the day, they had a chicken parmesan sandwich?
Yes.
I thought that was like modern day.
No, it was awesome.
I didn't know how to spell chicken parmesan back in the day.
We'll work on that for you, man. But I hope they bring it back. Okay, it is the top of the hour. The first hour here of Silver and Black today has expired. It's over. But we got much more Raider talk coming up here with Q Myers and Scott Gilbranson. We have a little bit. We're talking about the defense at the top of the next hour and hear from Paul Gunther, who talked exclusively with JT the Brick yesterday. So we'll get into some of that. Then we'll have the Q tip. We don't know what that's about, but you'll find out and you'll love it no matter what it is, because Q always speaks the truth. And then we'll talk to Vinny Bonsignor towards the end of the show. So don't go anywhere. You're here with Q and Scott on Silver and Black today, only on Raider Nation Radio.